If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
The one and only Darren Green Show.
Child, it has definitely been a minute. It's been a minute. Hey, hey, how y'all doing? What's going on? It's your boy Darren Green, host of the Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture, news, music, social media gossip, and reality TV. Be sure that if you are watching this on YouTube to leave your thoughts in the comments. Always leave a like. And if you're not subscribed to the channel by now, okay, subscribe to the goddamn channel. What's going on? What's happening? Y'all know y'all want to hit that subscribe button. Come on, subscribe. And also to the audio listeners, hey, be sure to leave a rate and review because we love those so much. I am so sorry in advance if you are hearing background music, child. Unfortunately, I live next to people. And they want to keep playing their music and just loud and obnoxious. But I don't think, I think in post I'll be able to edit this out. But it's not that much. But I, if I can hear it, I feel like y'all can hear it. And it's just messing up the vibe. And I don't want our vibe to be messed up because it's been a long time since I've been on the show. Okay, let's give myself a little bomb. Well, let's not bomb for that. Let me explain. We took a good old break, honey. We took a break, and I think I lost track of time. I don't know how long it's been since I did a Darren Green episode. I've been giving you guys weekly apps and a little bit of reels from TikTok and stuff like that. Hold on. Honey, this is not tea. This is nothing but some ice water. Number of little ice water, electrify your senses and stuff like that. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've been on here to really give you a filter. I mean, I've been unfiltered for so long. It's this long time coming of me giving something that's a little bit more filtered and a little bit more tamed. That's what I think of this show. Because I feel like this is my chance to re-go over some topics that I talked about with a more researched and more descriptive opinion or something like that. I don't know. So that's what I like about this show. Thank you guys for waiting up. And you guys have been doing a lot of things on YouTube and a lot of things in the audio podcast. Let me just give y'all a bomb. Because y'all sticking by me through and through. Y'all over here listening to some old podcast episodes, excuse me. And I just love that for y'all. And you know, thank you so much for still being on and bearing with me for a little bit. Because I feel like I took a break to do some rechanneling and just to, because I was doing a lot of content. I just wasn't liking what I was seeing. And then I had to like check myself. And I'm like, boy, if you don't step your damn cookies up, I need to step my damn cookies up. Because at the end of the day, the version of me in the past would have been so appreciative of what I have now as far as my viewership and what I have going on social media now. So I think that, you know, and I used to get on these shows back in the day, child. I knew only five people was going to watch this shit. I used to get on this show like I was Wendy Williams. Like I have a job. I was a man with a podcast, okay, that had something to say about things, okay. Did not care who watched it. There was some videos, child. There's still some videos. And if you keep on scrolling up, child, you'll see me in the zeros. And I didn't care because I cared about the you know, the art of conversation and stuff like that. And I feel like I had to get back to that. And just, you know, we get so conscious. And for people that listen to my stuff that are also content creators, I know you guys understand too. It's just like you're always looking at the dashboards, you're always looking at the analytics. Or for me, in my perspective, I know I'm not the only person to feel like this, but I'm just gonna say what I'm feeling. But yeah, it becomes, it does get a little depressing when it's just like, damn, you done worked so long. You done did it. Like, we 8 years in this shit. Guys, we are 8 years in this shit. And you have those doubts and thoughts of like, what do I have to show for it and stuff? And you get into that. And then it just kind of gets away with the content. Because I remember I attempted to do an episode for the Darren Green Show for a couple of Sundays. And I sit up here and I start the cameras and then the recording and everything. And it's just like, I'm just shooting blanks. Like, and I said, I cannot give you guys any type of content that's lackluster, no matter what. So I'm back. I've stepped my cookies up. And I've done some rechanneling. And speaking of step your cookies up, honey, because let me tell you, honey, I think my Barb card has officially been revoked. Like, it's a suspended license at this point, right? It's a suspended license, honey. It's been revoked. Like, I have to literally pay bills to get the shit back. I have to pay tickets and fines at this point. Because y'all was dragging me. Y'all was dragging me in the comments, girl, because I was talking about how Nikki over there the supporting. And I can't say that name too much because I'm trying to do some things, and we can't talk about the P word and what's going on in the country and something. So yes, I talked about Nikki and you guys didn't like it. And, you know, I understand because I did come into this game as a Barb, as a, you know, a component that basically was biased towards Nikki and you know, I made content that was in support of her. And I am still in support of her if she's right on things. But for some other things, I just was like, I just didn't like what I was seeing. And I'm just like, like, it's looking really spooky-ooky over there. And I just wanted to express that. And that's what I do. But, you know, I understand that, you know, that's your fave. You know, I was there. I was literally, those people that was in my comments, that was me. That was me back in the day when I was in high school. And you know, I used to defend Nikki down. I used to defend Nikki. When I tell you, I used to come for people, I was the same goddamn way. But you know what? You grow up. Hopefully, I hope that the people that was in my comments like that are like young and, you know, underage and just like don't really know too much about anything. But when you grow up and you see people for who they truly are, you'll see what I see and you'll understand that, you know, what she's doing and how she's moving is just, it's tired. We don't want to get into that too much. We got a show to do. Okay. I did watch him, finally, what I thought was Jordan Peele's him. It is not. It's somebody else. He didn't even direct the shit. He produced it, but he wasn't the director. I saw him. And when I tell you that was the worst $9 I have ever spent. Okay, the worst $9 I've ever spent. When I tell you this movie couldn't stick the landing to save its life. It's messy storyline and the new act, the actor Tariq something Withers or whatever his name, he's cute boy, you know, eye candy down, you know, I love watching him on screen. That was the only good thing about the movie. I don't like that. I don't like just because the people in there pretty don't mean it's going to be a good movie. Okay. It was so on the nose with its imagery of like Illuminati culture and secret society and cult behavior and celebrities, weird parties, diddler. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, okay. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, I don't know. We're the generation that's there's so much desensitized. We've seen so much shit. We've seen, you know, heard so many stories and people's recollections on celebrities and stuff like that. It gets to a point where it's like, that's all you got? That's all you got? I've seen that before. Some people lived it. Like, you get what I'm saying? But I'm like, that's it? That was what it was? The ad for this movie was so misleading because I thought it was going to... Not that I thought it was going to tell a different story. I thought that it would just be a little bit more structured. Like, while I was watching, I'm like, okay, we're leading up to something. It's going somewhere, I think. The acting is a little shallow. I mean, Julia Fox was in there. I'm like, why the fuck Julia Fox is in there, girl? I was like, girl, what is this? Is she trying to play Kim Kardashian or some shit? Because that's how she's acting. She act like Kim Kardashian. She acts like Kim Kardashian attempting to act in a movie role. You know how Kim Kardashian be acting, girl? Yeah, this is just really crazy. Girl, no. I mean, Marlon Wayans, he was okay. I mean, I feel like it did not stick the landing. When we got to the end, it just didn't make any sense. I just felt like, well, I don't know what's... The director was like, I don't know what to do, but let's just start making shit up. let's just start improvising and see what happens at the end. I really wanted to give this movie a chance because I know that a lot of people were like dragging it, and I felt like people was kind of dragging it because it played fun at like football culture or whatever. So I was like, yeah, let me check this out because I ain't gonna listen to y'all. Y'all just some haters. But no, it was trash. It was not good. It was not a good movie. And now that I found out that Jordan Peele didn't actually direct the movie, which made my $9 even more of a waste. But I don't know. Y'all tell me if you can comment, y'all. Tell me how y'all felt about him, and we'll discuss. But anyway, we got to get into some topics. Okay, we got to talk about. We got some news that's hot in the press now. Lil Uzi Vert and Roc Nation is getting sued. We'll get into that briefly. I'm going to talk about the whole Sydney Sweeney situation. We also have to talk about Raven Simone and how she put her foot in her mouth with that whole Bill Cosby fiasco. We'll talk about Jess Hilarious and how she was not able to work on the Miss Pat show. All that and more coming up on the Darren Green Show. Okay, now we're going to get into our first topic, okay? We got to talk about Lil Uzi and Roc Nation being sued. Roc Nation, you are paid mole, okay? I'm going to read this excerpt. This is from the Neighborhood Talk. Shout out to them. And I'm going to give you guys my thoughts. So this is definitely hot on the press. I just saw this topic and I said, we are definitely mentioning this in the show. Okay, so it says the Lil Uzi Vert is catching some heat after a former assistant filed a 16-page lawsuit in Los Angeles County accusing him and Roc Nation of everything from sexual harassment to unpaid overtime. Okay, the woman identified as a Jane Doe claims that she worked for Uzi for 2022 and 2020 to 2025 and says that the job left her emotionally drained and broke. She says that she was promised $50,000 salary after leaving her job at Balenciaga, but ended up working extreme hours, sometimes up to 39 hours straight while covering her own travel, food, and work expenses. I think that is a crime. You are working with these, and I'm pausing the read for a second. $50,000 yearly. Y'all got to stop paying, thinking that $50,000 is enough for anybody at this day and age. $50,000, I'm working for artists that are like Roc Nation, you know, partly own. I mean, Desiree and Jay-Z partly, like, they own that shit. Like, these are, and you paying me $50,000 yearly? Anyway, the lawsuit, the Jane Doe says Uzi crossed serious boundaries by sending her inappropriate vanish mode messages like, come rub me down before you leave. Let me see that booty. And I'm by myself right now. Send me something. She also says that he asked her to stay in his hotel, telling her, I want to sleep. I don't like sleeping by myself. I won't touch you. When she refused, she claims that he got angry and verbally abusive. Now, see, I believe that Uzi be getting verbally abusive with goddamn JT. Or that time he tried it with Young Miami. Now, anyway, the Jane Doe also accuses Uzi of making racial charge comments, allegedly saying no black rapper would be able to tell a white girl being soft. Well, today I am. She claims the harassment got worse when she was high on Xanax and oxycodone. And that he often sent her aggressive texts while under the influence. By 2024, the Jane Doe says that she started therapy after suffering from burnout and emotional distress around the same time she claims Uzi's girlfriend, JT, fired her own assistant and the Jane Doe worked for her too without any additional pay. So she worked for JT without pay after years of what she calls harassment, overwork, and unpaid labor. Doe says that she finally quit in April 2025, calling it a breaking point. The lawsuit accuses the Roc Nation executives of ignoring her repeated complaints and failing to take action. Why was this girl even working with Uzi right now? Uzi is not an active artist. Uzi is not even an active artist. Like, he's not doing shit. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not keeping up with Uzi like that. He's not really too much in the limelight. So I don't know if he is dropping new music or anything like that. But, like, he's not even an active artist. What the fuck does he need an assistant for? Like, really? Like, what's going on? And for Roc Nation to sit there and allow this shit, it's not looking good for you guys over there. It's it is not looking good for you guys over there. And let me tell you something. I am very much as critical as one side as I am on the other side, okay? I definitely feel like the people that I talked about that come for, you know, Jay-Z and the Carters and Roc Nation, you know, they have their own little tiffs and situations. I'm like, your stories is kind of unverifiable. But I will say that there is some type of uncertainty and some type of just weird racketeering-ish type vibes going on over there in Roc Nation. You got all those damn artists, and none of them artists are really doing anything musically. I mean, are we a music label or are we a mob? I don't know. Because what the hell does he have? He has assistants for, and he's not even actively working. She's had that girl working for JT for free. And the girl, you've been doing this since 2022, and I'm not trying to victim blame, but you've been doing this from 2022, she said, to 25. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'd have been like, well, let me say something. Let me get my walking papers, honey. Let me get my walking papers. Look, I can always say I worked at Roc Nation, so it's not like, you know, I got some experience on my belt or something. Like, yeah, from 2022 to 2025. I think she might have a case. She might have a case now, but you know, Roc Nation is real. They're real scandalous here. They're real scandalous. They will find a way to get away with whatever shit they're doing over there. So hopefully that the Jane Doe gets some good lawyers. And hopefully at this point, I don't know if she'll win, because Roc Nation and I wouldn't say Uzi, but really Roc Nation is a powerful entity. I would expect her to get like a settlement check. That's what I'm thinking that can happen. She better hope for that, if anything. But yeah, that's what I see with this. I see this only being they're gonna settle. But if she wants to take it to court, if she wants to really go full force, then I'm with you too. You know, I feel like when it comes to these companies that really screw over people, they need to pay in some sort of way. And I think that overtime without pay, the fact that was a red flag, number one, $50,000, you're working for a company built off of, you know, built from a billionaire. You get what I'm saying? $50,000 yearly, like, that's crazy. That's wild. Honey, $50,000, bitch, that's what we made. That's us. You get what I'm saying? The regular person. But you know, we'll see what happens with this. This was just, like I said, this is hot on the press, so I don't have too much to say other than this is some crazy ass shit. Okay, so we got an update, child. I knew this was coming. I knew it was too good to be true, but it's a good thing I was able to catch this before we wrapped the edit. But it looks like Lil Uzi Vert's assistant quietly dropped the sexual harassment lawsuit against him and Roc Nation just 17 days after filing. Let's get into it. This is also according to the Neighborhood Talk. So they wrote, as previously reported, Lil Uzi Vert and Roc Nation were named in a lawsuit by Uzi's former assistant after she claimed she was sexually harassed and not paid for overtime. Well, now it appears that the case was quietly dismissed this week, okay? Or last week, excuse me. There's no word as to what prompted the dismissal of the lawsuit, but it's definitely interesting considering the jaw-dropping allegations of the Jane Doe brought forth regarding Uzi's behavior. In her October filing, she attached graphic text messages from Uzi over the years where he allegedly begged her to come over to his hotel and even requests that she send some booty pics, okay? Just 17 days after going to court with the claims, Jane Doe decided to drop the lawsuit against the rapper and his management company. According to court documents, the case was dismissed with prejudice, meaning she cannot refile in the future. What the fuck? Well, two things happened here, okay? Either they threatened her or they paid her. I like to hope they're not threatening nobody, child. I mean, that's bad. But it's clear that she may have gotten paid off. I mean, things like this happen. I mean, Jay-Z and Roc Nation and Desiree and all them, child, there's some scary wolves, honey, lions and tigers and bears, child. So it's very clear that they got this expedited quickly. They got this dismissal expedited with the swiftness, okay? What can I say? This is how the news works. Stories come out and then things update, of course. So back to your regularly scheduled show. This is some crazy ass shit. Now, another topic. Well, I guess we can get into the whole Sydney Sweeney of it all. Okay, because let me tell y'all something, honey. We are going to get into the things. I'm going to read this excerpt and I'll give you guys my thoughts. I did do a reel discussing this situation, and I always like to do that before I do the episode, just to get a gist of like where everybody's, you know, heads are at, like what's the, I'm gonna check the temperature of the room or whatever. Actress Sydney Sweeney did a sit-down interview with GQ to promote her latest film, but of course the journalist had to do her job and discuss the recent backlash with her Good Jeans ad with American Eagle. Now, basically, the journalist gave her the floor to basically speak on the matter, to which it was met with a dismissive response, and quote,
"White people shouldn't joke about genetic superiority." Like, that was kind of like the criticism, broadly speaking. And since you are talking about this, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that specifically.
I think that when I have an issue that I want to speak about, people will hear.
Okay, yeah, that's what she said. And she also followed up with saying, you know, the art will speak for itself. And, you know, people think that I'm very aware on certain things that people may think I'm not, or whatever the tale she said. I'm butchering what she said. But this conversation yet again reared its ugly head. Let's discuss, I suppose, because Sydney got praise from a certain demographic of people online and news outlets for dismissing the quotes. Okay, so I'm going to read this tweet that basically encapsulates what, you know, most people were talking about online. This person tweeted, "What exactly happened here is the journalist asked Sydney if white people should be allowed to joke about the concept of good genes just generally, and Sydney, a well-adjusted human who doesn't live online, simply declined to engage in this extremely stupid conversation. That the people that are chronically online are talking about, right? I find it so funny that when people say that, but we look at who started this conversation. Sydney did, and by extension, American Eagle started this conversation. And I still feel that the company should have gotten some type of backlash as much as she did. And let me just fix myself to say, that's not to say I don't think that Sydney shouldn't have got the backlash or anything like that. Because some people's like, oh, well, you know, you gotta understand that she, because people are trying to tell me that, oh, you know, she is like this. I'm like, I'm sure she is. I mean, her family is, you know, we saw what the family looked like. We saw what they were wearing. We saw the colors. And my whole thing is, yeah, I'm pretty sure she probably feels those type of feelings. But at the end of the day, American Eagle was the one that started this conversation. And a lot of companies right now, because of this new shift in things in the country, keeping it real, so I don't get, you know, these companies feel the need to be like, okay, well, I guess this is on brand. White supremacy is on brand. So, yeah, I think that American Eagle should have got dragged just as much as she did. But they started the conversation. You did that billboard where you had Sydney Sweeney has good genes. You crossed out Gene, G-E-N-E, and you crossed it out with the clothing genes. Then you had her say that cringy-ass monologue talking about eye color, hair color, all that other stuff. You know, and that happened and the public responded. We know what you were doing. Like, we know what you were doing and you know what you were doing. Because if it was a regular ad, nobody would have said anything. It would have just been, okay, Sydney Sweeney's doing an ad for American Eagle. Okay, all right, moving on. But no, you didn't. You wanted people to talk about this and you wanted the controversy just so that you can either pander to a certain demographic of people and to piss off the masses so it can draw attention to your company. And I think that that's bullshit. And I think that I hate companies, brands, businesses, public figures. I hate when you try to drum up some controversy just to sell some fucking product. And that's what it is. That's what it's always been. And now her being dismissive and the people that are on her side online are trying to gaslight the public for calling bullshit. When I have something to say, the people will know you haven't said anything, my dear. You haven't said nothing. You don't have the capabilities to say anything. And it's crazy because despite all that she is doing with a lot of these ads, she's a talented actress. Like, I'm not, like, let's call a thing a thing. Like, I've watched roles from Sydney Sweeney. She has range. She has, dare I say, the girl has range. But you throw it all away when you do these controversial things, like with the whole thing with the soap, with the bath water and all this other stuff. Like, it's just like she, I don't know, which comes back to what I said about Nikki a little bit about how like celebrities like to stir up controversy, but when you are talented, you don't need to do that. That's just my thing. And I think Sydney is talented, but it's getting withered away with all the shit that's going on. And it's the simple fact that multiple companies since this ad have created their own rendition of like this type of commentary surrounding jeans. Like we saw the whole thing of Dunkin' Donuts with you're promoting refreshers and you got this palm color folk talking about good jeans and talking about, you know, my jeans. And I'm like, what, in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial? Are you kidding me? But I get it. I mean, I get it. You know, white supremacy is trendy again, but don't throw the rock and hide your hand. And my whole thing is, just to get back to that sit-down interview with GQ, if you should have sat there and people are saying, oh my goodness, this is class 101 on PR. Like, no, this is bad PR. What she should have done is had her publicist say not to ask them questions. Ooh, girl, almost dropped my damn drink. That's what she should have done. Because if you're not trying to talk about it and be all dismissive about it, like, well, I think when I have something to say, the people are going to hear it. Okay, girl. Like, see, the thing about it is, though, Sydney Sweeney is what I like to call a multi-type of pick-me, okay? She's a male-centered pick-me, and now she's a political pick-me, okay? We watched how she expressed in previous interviews of how, oh, my goodness, no, there's no women in solidarity in Hollywood, and, you know, after some weird exchange with one woman, you sat there and said that, oh, the girl, I'm one of the girls that, you know, the girls don't get along with me, that's why I'm with the guys type vibe. You get what I'm saying? You did that shit with the bath water, which people, you got backlash for it, and then you said it like, oh, it's just women being jealous. So, yeah, you are a male center pick me, and then you're also a political pick me because of this damn jeans ad. And see, the thing, the real tea is, Sydney is what y'all accuse Sabrina Carpenter of being. Because at least Sabrina Carpenter, she knows how to take the power back, and she also knows how to explain herself. Okay, that interview that she did with Gayle King where she explained the meaning behind the album cover, not whether you like it or not. The girl is smart. You know, she said what she said. But you know what? That's a whole nother conversation for another day. But Sydney, you want to start the conversation, but not really trying to follow through when somebody asks you about it, like, you know, giving you the floor. So if you are acting dismissive of somebody with a conversation about white people not being able to or it not being coof to joke about the whole good genes thing. And we'll get into some of the comments that I did say I wanted to mention some of the comments that were made when I made my initial video, because we start to get into the low self-esteem comments and this, that, and the third. It's not about low self-esteem. Because I think the people that are talking about this, I love my blackness, honey. Let's be very clear on that. Come on. I love my melanin, honey. I love my coarse hair. I love my kinky, curly hair. I love it all. You get what I'm saying? There's no low self-esteem is not here. But I'm also not the type to just boast about, oh, my genes and my melanin is better than people that are not melanin. You get what I'm saying? People that are not, they don't have these things or whatever the case is. Like, I'm not, it's a superiority complex. And I think for people to say, because there was some people to say, oh, no, saying the term good genes has been always a thing. And people said it for years. Yeah, your people, racist white people have said it. And the white people that get it, I ain't talking about y'all. Y'all cool. But the ones that don't understand that, yes, this was the whole good genes conversation was a thing, but it was a thing for the racist whites that made that clear and said that, you know, we are better because of X and Y and Z, like eye color, hair color, skin color, and all. So it's not that it's an insecurity. It's more it's like, girl, okay, like you... In 2025, we're still having these conversations like we back in Jim Crow South or something. Like, it's just not giving. And that's just what it was. You got backlash for it. You can't sit there and do something that's polarizing and then expect not to get backlash and then be so surprised and then also not want to explain yourself and talk about it when you get asked in an interview. Like, what was the point of even having you on? Like, I get it. You're promoting your movies, but honestly, are we really tuning into the movies? Are we really tuning into what you got going on with your content, with your whatever you got going on? Because it seems like you just thrive in controversy. Are we an agitator or an actress? I don't know. I really don't know. And let's talk about low self-esteem. Let's talk about low self-esteem because I got a lot of those comments talking about that. And let's be clear. It's multiple comments. I'm just like, y'all don't have an original thought at all. But half of the people, because let me say something. The call is coming from inside the house. The call is coming from inside the house. If anybody is insecure, it's the people that talk shit that don't show their face. That's in everybody's comments that's talking. I show my face is public. You know what I look like. You know what I do. You get what I'm saying? I ain't got no... It ain't nothing. 90% of the haters that's in the comments that ain't got no profile pictures. That, come on. So miss me with that insecure stuff because I think that you're projecting. The problem is we don't want to be gaslighted from people like Sydney, from people like from places and companies like American Eagle and people that are subscribing adjacently to white supremacy. And that was the conversation. And we can move on. Look, I mean, it is what it is. But anyway, y'all tell me what y'all think in the comments. Now, I want to talk about Raven Simone for a little bit. Because people talking, child. Raven Simone explained her perspective on Bill Cosby's legacy, emphasizing the difference between his work and the accusations against him. On her appearance on the Hate to Break It to You podcast, she said, separate the creator from the creation. She added the creation changed America, changed television. Simone said that she does not ignore the allegations, noting that he also has been accused of some horrific things. I'm going to let you hear from the bird's mouth. This is what was said.
I'm going to just say, there's so many things that Bill Cosby pioneered and literally broke the wall. I mean, this is what's crazy. Like, yeah, he was a monster on this side, but he was a monster creatively.
Both
can be true.
Both can be true. Separate the creator from the creation.
100%.
And that's just where I live. Because the creation changed America, changed television.
1,000%.
Why does this conversation keep happening? You know, and it's not like none of his shows are like erased forever. Like you can't look it up in the archives and stuff. Like a lot of his content is still available. It's still here. People, I mean, the actors from those shows are still getting their residuals. That's what Raven Simone says. She still gets paid from that. I mean, the bastard is out of prison. Like, why does the media always have to reinforce the narrative that we have to separate the art from the artist? We're already doing that. We're currently doing that right now. I mean, I didn't stop watching A Different World. I still watch that show. I watched The Cosbys a little bit. I never really did like The Cosbys like that. Like, it was too, for me, it was a little bit too unrealistic. A Different World was a little bit more, I related to it a little bit more because I was a black kid going to college. You get what I'm saying? And learning, you know, going, experiencing a different world, right? But his content is still available. People are still watching it. There are people that are writing all of him off as far as, you know, him and his work. And I think that that's like a choice that people can have. And I think that people can also have that same conversation of how he did revolutionize television before The Cosby Show. There was Good Times, and there was, I think the other one was not Different Strokes, but it was some other show that the writers were white, and they played into every black stereotype. And then at one point after those shows, they said that they want to have a sitcom that paints black people in a different light, in a light that we've never seen before. And then that's how The Cosbys was made, and in turn, A Different World. And then we had all these other shows that show black excellence, which is very important. And he did what he did. But we not gonna forget also what he did. Let's be very clear on that. There was a lot of things that were done, and we can sit there and talk about his legacy and stuff like that. I mean, he was the one that fucked it up. I think two things can be true at the same time. Yes, he did so much for black television, and also he was a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit. Like, it just is what it is. And I think that because this is kind of a slippery slope, because it's like, now we got people saying, well, you know, you got to separate the artist from the art. Because, look, I still listen to R. Kelly. Now, I feel like if you still, like, engage in, like, Bill Cosby's content, you know, he put a lot of people on. Like, it's not only him that's getting, you know, the residuals from his shows. It's people that acted on the show as well. I think when we're talking about R. Kelly, and then also his content, it never was harmful to the community. But when you look at somebody like R. Kelly, I think it's a little bit different, because when you are listening to his music, you are funding him. You're putting money in his pockets, and you're listening to music in which he was talking about a child. Like, you got to look at it like that. You have to, like, you got to understand, like, I don't see nothing wrong. Like, age ain't nothing but a number. Like, come on. Like, he sung about the freaking underage women that he conquered. So I think it's a little bit of a slippery slope when we start to have these conversations about separating the artist from the art. And we've been having these conversations for years. Can we talk about something else? Can we talk about something else for a change? I don't know. Anyway, that happened. Just Hilarious also was in the headlines this week. You know, Just Hilarious, anytime she's in the headlines, just know she's talking about some fingers. Okay, just know she is talking about some queers, honey. It's always about us, honey. Just Hilarious recently told comedian Miss Pat and producer Jordan E. Cooper that she was really upset to learn that BET denied her role on their Miss Pat show because of her comments about trans people. As previously reported, Just Hilarious unprovokingly says to the guests of the Breakfast Club that only women can have babies. Her remark at the time made a recent online feud against T.S. Madison. Though her comments may be very surfaced, she used the moment to take a slight at the trans community, furthering the transphobia. Okay. Now, here is a little bit of what that conversation was like.
Pat, you know I'm supposed to have been on multiple episodes of Miss Pat Settles It, but I got a phone call, right? Like, right after paperwork was done and all of that, right? saying that I could no longer be on the show for a few episodes because of a comment that I had made. And the comment was literally, literally verbatim, only women can have babies. Mm-hmm. I said that, you know, and I asked, was that what got, I want you on my show. I went back and told them, I want you on my show. But then they, all they said, BET said no. Yeah, I knew it wasn't you.
Yeah.
Because the person who even called me said that you fought for, like, you really was like, nah, I want her on the show.
Yes.
You know, and you said that more than once. But they just, they told me that that was the reason why. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, do she know that? Can she, you know what I'm saying? Like, did y'all talk to her or did y'all tell her? What was her feedback? Like, y'all don't care that that's her show. She want me on there. And then it's just bogus for a statement like that, that I couldn't come and do. Miss Pat Settles, that I was really upset about that. Yo.
But you do understand why people were, why people were.
So this other person, I mean, I believe, not this other person, honey. The producer goes in to talk about souls and shit. I didn't want to get into it too much, y'all. Here's my thing, Jess. You should be able to say exactly what you want. You should be able to say exactly what you want. Everybody, freedom of speech is what it is. Every time that you want to remind America on your radio show that T.S. Madison is a man, you have that right to say that. Mm-hmm. But that does not miraculously mean that you are free from criticism and free from opportunities being taken away from you. That's life, bruh. Like, I know I done, look, my presence on social media and all this other stuff, things that I say on my show, I know it hindered me from collabing with certain people, getting certain opportunities, maybe some jobs. You get what I'm saying? And I understand that, and sometimes you got to eat that. Maybe somebody, some exec was pissed and they didn't like that you was talking about trans people and they was like, well, we're going to have you off the show. Because the thing about it is, though, and I remember one time, I'm about to make this parallel, but I remember when Kevin Hart was going through his situation with, well, not his situation, it wasn't a situation, but it was his past tweets or whatever of him like saying homophobic things and kind of like, he did like a whole like, documentary series on it on Netflix. Like, he all for him to apologize, you know, he got paid to apologize because obviously Netflix cut the check. But I remember one of his workers said, well, you got to understand that what you say can affect other people that work for you. So now that you said this, now everybody that works under you and everybody that's around you, If I stay associated with you, they're going to think that I have the same ideologies and then they're going to cut and divest from me. So it's like a trickle down effect. So it's the simple fact that if they would have had you on that show, then that during that time in which you made those statements, then it's going to look like, oh, BET is in solidarity with transphobia. It becomes this big thing. You got to understand that whatever you say is important and whatever you say, you have the right to say, but also things can happen. People may not want to work with you because it's a little bit too you're a little bit too divisive. You're a little bit too controversial right now. We don't need this right now. You know, companies are trying to preserve what little of integrity that they got, child. So I think that was the case here. I mean, I don't think people would have really cared if, because like BET don't really give a fuck about the community anyway. Like the fact that like, they got, this is the same company that like low key like cursed out Lil Nas X for kissing a man on stage at the BET Awards. Like, I don't think people would have cared if she was on the Miss Pat show. I think it would have been a given. But you know, when you piss certain people off, you got to understand that sometimes those are the consequences for being outspoken and doing what you do and saying what you say. I mean, I don't care about Just Hilarious, but you know, it just is what it is. This is the world we live in, honey. If you don't like it, you know, have your own show. I did want to talk about Trina. Now, Trina Braxton, girl. Because everybody was talking about this, too. They said Trina Braxton found herself in the center of an online debate this week after publicly supporting K. Michelle's upcoming country album, with some fans calling this move messy, given K. Michelle's long history conflict with Trina's sister, Tamar Braxton, okay? The exchange began when Trina commented under K. Michelle's post saying bringing Nashville to Atlanta, a private listening event, writing, "You know I love country music, Kay." That's what Trina wrote. And Kay Michelle replied, "Come see me, Trina. DM me. I'll set it up. The album is great." Now, while the interaction seemed harmless on social media, users quickly reacted, many suggesting that Trina's comments was ill-timed considering Tamar and Kay Michelle's public feud. The pair disputes have spanned for years, including multiple heated exchanges on social media and television. Most notably, Kay Michelle called Tamar Muppet, if y'all don't remember back in 2014, that interview. And, you know, fans are speculating that Trina, they're dragging Trina. I'm so glad they're dragging Trina because Trina, you freaking low down, dirty koala bear. I'm so sick of these witches. They're not sisters, honey. They witches, okay? Knowing the history that Tamar, your little sister Tamar, had with Kay Michelle. I mean, Kay Michelle, here's the thing. Kay Michelle is looking at the situation like, oh, yeah, like, I'm taking another chance to whack Tamar. That's her business. They had beef. But for Trina to sit there and play into that, knowing that Kay Michelle bullied Tamar. No, Kay Michelle did kind of bully Tamar. Like, could we admit to Kay, like, she had this bitch crying on national TV saying, "Vince, do I look like a Muppet?" Like, the girl was disheveled. You know, she very threatened by Kay Michelle. And for you to sit there and try to, like, be on some type of fake shit, talk about some, "Oh, my God, I can't wait. Like, I'm going to listen to this." Like, that is some fake snake grimy bullshit, okay? You know, these girls are, and I told my best friend this. I said, I have to start watching Braxton Family Values because I'm like, it's a lot going on here, child. It's a lot of snake and backhanded shit that be going on with this family, child. I don't know what's going on. But all I know is, Trina, you ain't shit. Okay? You ain't shit for this. And, you know, you're gonna get all what you deserve. And until you do right by your niece, everything you touch, I'm doing the damn color purple hands, and everything you touch will be in flames. Okay? Until you do right by that damn niece. Okay? Anyway, and that's all I got to say about Trina. We can move on to our news and music part of the show. We're bringing back that segment because we do have a couple of deliverables. Now, first of all, let's talk about the Grammys. Yay, the Grammys, yay. The nominations list came out, and there were some nominations that I want to discuss. I want to talk about the main categories. So Album of the Year, we got Bad Bunny. And his album, Sabrina Carpenter, Man's Best Friend, Lady Gaga, Mayhem, Leon Thomas, okay, Victorious, Justin Bieber, Swag, Kendrick Lamar's GNX, Tyler, the Creator, Kramapaka, girl, I don't know how to pronounce Tyler, the Creator's album, child. We got Clips and Pusha T and Malice with Let God Sort Him Out. I guess it's a joint album. I did not know Pusha T came out with an album. Did not know that. I think it's definitely between Kendrick and they might give it to Gaga. I don't know. Gaga never got Album of the Year. But see, I feel like Mayhem just was not a strong enough album. Like, I really, and we did the reaction video on that. I didn't really like a lot of the songs on there. Sabrina Carpenter might win. I don't know. I mean, even Sabrina's Man's Best Friend. I mean, I love the album cover. I love her messaging and things. I don't know. I mean, it's really, being that this year was such a lackluster bunch of music that dropped, it's so hard to say who really is going to win. They might even just give it to Bad Bunny just because. Like, you get what I'm saying? Just be freaking because. Anyway, so the next one is Song of the Year. So there's Lady Gaga, Abracadabra, Dolce Anxiety, APT, Rose with Bruno Mars. That's the that song. DTMF, Bad Bunny, Luther with SZA and Kendrick. We got Manchild with Sabrina, Wildflower, and then Golden. That's the Korean pop song. That I guess they get the animation. I don't know what they are, but they, you know, who I think is gonna win Song of the Year. Abracadabra was that she kind of like Gaga reheated her nachos with that song. So I don't know. I think she might get it. if not her, I would say Luther with Kendrick Lamar and SZA, because that was really a big song. Yeah. Record of the year, we got Bad Bunny, Dolce, Lady Gaga, Chaperone, Sabrina Carpenter, Billie Eilish, Kendrick Lamar and SZA, and then we got Rose and Bruno Mars. Like I said, I mean, me personally, I would give it to Abracadabra again. Manchild was also a good song, too. That was a good record. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where it's going to go, because, like I said, the songs, it just was, they were okay. We got Best New Artist, Olivia Dean. They need to give it to her, because what she's doing is definitely, like, I love her brand of music. Like, Olivia Dean, she, okay. We got The Marais, Somber, Alex Warren, Lola Young, Leon Thomas. Leon Thomas is a new singer, is a new artist. That he been around since Victoria's Girl. Addison Rae. Now, Addison Rae definitely been around for a minute, too. And then we got Cat's Eye. Like I said, I don't know who they're going to give it to, but that's definitely the more important nominations list. So we do have, like, the Grammy nominees in total. So Kendrick leads the nominations with 9. Okay, shout out to Kendrick. Okay. And people like to sit there and count him out and say that, oh, no, this is all, like, fake and bots and all this other stuff. Like, no, people genuinely F with Kendrick Lamar. Like, I don't know where this conversation came from. Like, he's some type of plant. Like, what? Just because he beefed with Drake and basically won the beef, and people can't wrap their heads around it because Drake is such a big artist and stuff. Like, yeah, no, Kendrick is not a plant. Like, people actually mess with Kendrick. Like, he has a real fan base. Like, as much people don't like to understand it. Lady Gaga also got 7 nominations, which I'm like, okay, Gaga, she's standing the test of time. SZA has about 5. So does Dolce. Dolce has 5 nominations. That's crazy. That is so crazy. I love that for her. Speaking of female rappers, Cardi B also was nominated for Outside. Now, let me just say something about that. I was very surprised that she got nominated for Outside. Outside was such, for me, well, no, I can't even say that. I can't even say that. Because I feel like I like Outside better than I liked Imaginary Players. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, Outside, it was her. I can see how it got nominated. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna win, but I guess I can see it. At first, I was like, I don't know about that. Like, that seems a little plantish. But look, hey, that's just me. You know, I gotta be a little bit of a hater. I think Glorilla also got a nomination as well. Glorilla's hers for best rap album, Glorious. Oh wow, that's crazy. Okay. Miss Glorilla, and also for the queer artists. First of all, Duran Benar has 3 Grammy nominations. Destin Conrad also has a Grammy nomination as well. Shout out to him. Shout out to my queer artists. Because they like to overlook the queer artists, and they really do a lot, especially Duran Benar. He brings back the eccentricness that the male R&B singers used to have. Now I feel like a lot of these straight male R&B artists, they're so too cool for school. They don't want to do too much. They don't want to dance too much. They don't want to... It looked a little kooky and looked a little eccentric with their music. They just want to sit there and do this rap adjacent R&B songs, like it corny, just lame. But when it comes to Duran, he I gotta give him his 10s. Destin Conrad also is a very, very, very talented R&B singer as well. I don't really listen to Destin that much. But he has some good music on him, though. He has some really good music on him. As far as any predictions, I don't know how it's going to pan out. We'll have to watch it to see. There was some snubs that happened, but, you know, the Grammys snub everybody, child. This is, you dust yourself off and try again. I do know, what's the name? Midnight Summer. What's that girl named, child? I forgot her name, but she the one did the Midnight Summer. Larson. She got nominated for the Midnight Sun, which she carried this summer. Like pop wise, she carried this summer. I do regret not doing a album, a reaction to her album. But I mean, hell, I ain't really listened to it yet. So if y'all want me to, let me know. But yeah, I mean, that's the Grammys, child. We also got the trailer for the Michael Jackson biopic. Let me just say this. I'm going to be watching. Lionsgate is doing this. This looks like, let me tell you something. The media knows how to butcher a Michael Jackson biopic. Lifetime, we on your ass forever. It's up for y'all every time. But I think this biopic is going to rival that old back in the day Jackson 5's biopic. This is definitely going to be something. I see this doing really, 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 really well. And I'm very intrigued to see how they're going to, you know, capture his life. And his nephew is the one that's playing Michael. And we already got some people talking about something. He don't look like Michael. He ain't going to look all the way like Michael. Okay. But God damn it, he looks a little bit like him. Just a little bit. Like, y'all want to complain about every goddamn thing. He act like him. Sound like him. Sing like him. Okay. So calm down. Okay. Pipe down. I think people need to just pipe down. Y'all want to talk about what's something that they ain't even come out yet. You ain't even see it yet. But anyway, I'm interested. I have high hopes that this is going to do well. I don't know if they're going to, because some people was talking about like, oh, are they going to address the allegations? Okay. I mean, I don't think that they will. My personal opinion, I don't think that they will. They might. But if they do, they are going to be in his favor. So that's spoiler alert. Like, I mean, it's going to, you know, they're going to show that, you know, anyway, child, I'm going to watch the movie. Speaking of K. Michelle, because we recently talked about K. Michelle with the whole Trina thing. She is set to sue. Well, she's trying to take legal action against this AI artist named Zaniya Monet. Because she sounds just like K. Michelle. Now, here is what K. Michelle had to say.
I can send it. You know what? I don't need nobody to write me no songs right now. I got so much built up tension, AI people using my tones of my voice and all of that. Now I got to go find a lawyer. All type of stuff going on. Last thing I really need is somebody to write me a song. Because once I sat down, oh my God, the amount of songs I'm going to write, not just write for me, write for your favorites and sell. The amount of records, I'm going to make 20 records a week. Okay?
I'm going to write. Okay, well, I guess you're going to take legal action, honey girl. I mean, I think that this AI artist, she sounds like so many, there were some instances, like they said that she sounded like Beyonce. Then some people said she sounded like Rihanna. But the songs that I can't play it because copyright claims, but it does kind of mimic K. Michelle's high-pitched voice a little bit. Like, I can see it. I can see it a little bit. So if K. Michelle wants to take legal action, at first, because I was going to talk about this, the topic of the AI artist, and I was like, you know what? What's the big deal? I mean, like, at the end of the day, this black woman is taking ownership of an AI generated artist that she's writing the lyrics, and then the AI system is singing it because she can't sing, as Gayle King said. Like, what's the big deal? I mean, like, there's still a bunch of artists. But then I had to bring myself into it. Sometimes you got to bring yourself into it. Like, if there were like podcasters that literally typed up in a prompt, make podcasts about celebrity gossip, and then just boom, there's an AI podcaster that gets into the nitty gritty. Like, I feel some type of way, because I'm just like, well, damn, like, you trying to replace this or something? Like what you, like, you know, it takes real talent to get on here and have these conversations. Just like it takes real talent to get on the mic and sing or rap or whatever the case is. So I understand if they want to take legal action against this AI artist. I hope K. Michelle is being serious about it and not just, you know, talking out the side of her ass like she usually be doing, Jam. Is there anything else I want to talk about before we get into our hoo child? Because we only got one left. I mean, y'all heard about Kanye West making a public apology in regards to his anti-Jewish remarks. Here, girl, let's play that.
Today and just take accountability. I was dealing with some various issues, dealing with bipolar also. So it would take the ideas I had and have them take them to an extreme where I would forget about the protection of the people around me or and myself. So I wanted to come and take accountability. Sometimes with, you know, people aren't that knowledgeable about the bipolar and the cause or what causes it and the way you act when you have this disease.
Yeah, that's what he said. And then when you look at this video, child, his mouth not even moving that much. Like, this look like some AI shit. This look like some fucking AI shit. But he's being apologetic. Let me tell you something. Kanye West has been apologetic to the things that he said previously, and he will go back on Twitter and start going DEFCON again. You get what I'm saying? So I will believe it when I see it. Okay. And I do believe that, you know, he does have bipolar, so that comes with the territory and everything, as to the reason why he goes on these sporadic crazy rants. And now we're seeing other artists get into that as well, unfortunately. It gets to a point where we're just so desensitized now. It's just like, girl, you gonna have to show us that you ain't like this no more, child. We gotta stop these rants. We gotta stop all the things that you get into. Him making this public apology, I mean, I guess that's the first step. But, honey, you made your bed. Now you gotta go ahead and lay in it, okay? Now, our who child is an unfortunate one, too, as well. Because we got to talk about this mother and child that goes viral after calling out their teacher for using a gay slur at the poor student. Now, a mother went viral on TikTok after sharing a video of her son recounting how he was bullied at school by a classmate who called him gay. In the clip, the boy explains that he reported the incident to the teacher and she failed to intervene instead, allegedly agreeing with the student and saying that based on the way he walks, she thinks he's gay too. Now, her son later pushed the male student who made the comment, and as a result, he received a disciplinary write-up and has been placed in in-school suspension for his actions. I would like to know what type of school he goes to, but anyway, this is the video at hand.
My son's teacher called him a slur today.
On Friday, I came home crying because this boy said that I was gay, and he made the whole gym laughing. So I told the teacher, they said they was gonna do nothing about it. They didn't do nothing about it. And then today, he called me gay again. I told the teacher so I won't get in trouble. And the teacher said the way that I walk, that she think I'm gay too. And then she pulled me, and then she was like, "Do you know why I said that?" And I'm like, "No." And I was crying, but she came over there and she's like, the other people are noticing that you walk funny too, and the teachers are talking about how, like, I'm gay. She was big. When she was done talking to me, I got up and I was packing my stuff because it was there. The boy came over there and I pushed him away from me. And I got a write-up.
Yeah, and that's when he got the write-up. We can stop there. I just find it so unfortunate that, like, this is still happening. I would really like to know what school he's going to. What is the demographic of the school that he goes to? It can happen anywhere, because let's be very clear. I've been to middle school. Everybody done been to middle school. Middle school is a very hard time for kids, especially if you are not in the category of popular and whatever, you know, it is to be in that category. You got bullied. You get what I'm saying? And I can remember teachers saying not a damn word after the shit that students used to say about to me and stuff like that. So it's not unbelievable. And I went to a predominantly black school. Like, the students were predominantly black. Teachers were predominantly white, because I went to a charter school. Red flag number one. I went to a charter school, child, unfortunately. So there was a lot of, maybe I look back at it as a, in the sense that maybe they were uncomfortable and they didn't know how to handle that, or they were scared of some of the students or whatever, as to the reason why they didn't say anything. But for this teacher right here to sit there and just say, well, the way you were walking, it sent, you know what? I had a teacher too, one time too. And you know, that bitch, hopefully she, she's having a good time with life. Hopefully. I remember, like, she would say shit like that towards me, like that came off kind of phobic. And it's just like, cause when we would get into it, or I would give some type of pushback, or maybe I roll my eyes or something like that. Boys don't roll their eyes. When I tell you, back in the day, child, I didn't have as much of a backbone back then. But if I had the mind that I had then, I would have cursed that whore out. And I knew that. I know that bitch is somewhere. I know that whore is a freaking grand wizard wife. I know that bitch is a white supremacist. I know that hoe is. Okay, let's be very clear. But no, teachers can be very toxic to the students, though. That is a real thing. This shit is not unheard of. It's very unfortunate. I mean, that a teacher ain't never called me that. You get what I'm saying? They never used that type of verbiage. But I mean, you know, teachers are different nowadays, child. There's a lot of malpractice going on in these schools or whatever or whatnot. But anyway, that is it for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. We really did talk for a good little hour and some change. Like I said, please be sure to leave a comment. Smash that like button, please. And if you're not already subscribed to the show, subscribe, girl. And I will talk to you with the next video. We're probably going to do a weekly app, hopefully. Allegedly. Possibly. All right, y'all. See y'all later.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.